Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. People wanting to have children have many more options than they used to. Still, adoption, surrogacy, in vitro fertilization, and all the other methods depend on reproductive biology. In other words, someone has to carry and eventually give birth to each human baby. But what if there were another way? From Aldous Huxley's Brave New World to the Matrix trilogy, science fiction has long imagined babies gestating from conception to delivery in a lab. Artificial wombs may soon be a reality. Zoltan Istvan is a futurist and a philosopher and journalist and author. He wrote about the science and ethics of artificial wombs, or ectogenesis, as the technology is formerly called, for Motherboard. Zoltan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, so first of all, what does this term ectogenesis actually mean?
Well, in theory, it really just means having a living organism in an artificial womb or outside of the human body. That's the technical term. But what it's really kind of come to mean is more the matrix feeling of, you know, growing a human body outside of the mother. And, you know, just gives us a lot of sci-fi kind of feelings to it.
And that image, you know, you mentioned the matrix. I think of that scene with all of those sort of pods where humans are growing. What would the technology for ectogenesis look like in real life?
You know, in real life, it's going to be a lot more, I would say, human friendly. I almost imagine it as giant aquariums filled with amniotic fluid, very easily to be visible, lots of cameras and a number of wires kind of going into a growing fetus. And you'd be able to monitor it and perhaps even stimulate it. There might be things that you could do to create a kind of feeling of love or something being applied to it, even though it is, you know, separate in this type of container.
Why would a parent, especially a mother, opt for external gestation in an artificial womb?
Well, you know, so this is the number one question. I'm going to give you my emotional point of view because it's something I was not didn't do in the article, but I recently had my second daughter, and my wife had to go through a C-section, and I can tell you as a husband watching one's, you know, the most important person in your life be cut open. Organs are spilling out. It's very shocking to see that something like that happen. And yes, our procedure went safe, but it's not a safe surgery. It's a major surgery. And so from just going through this incredible, dangerous ordeal is my reason that I would want ectogenesis. So I don't have to actually worry about my wife dying on the operating table. Or also it's quite crude actually to pull a child from that environment and hope it starts breathing and then put it and clean it all up. And that first the child can't breathe because there's a lot of mucus and blood and stuff all over. The environment of doing, you know, an artificial womb would be far safer, far cleaner, far more managed. And you could there'd be a lot of different type of technologies that would just literally eliminate, you know, you're talking like 95% of the risks of childbirth. And don't forget that 800 women a day die, according to the World Health Organization, die a day from childbirth. It's a very serious thing.
Well, how close are we to making this technology a reality now?
Well, so we have most of the technology available to start experimenting with this, with human fetuses and such. We really do. The problem is that there are rules, there is legislation, there's bureaucracy, and there's just public opinion to worry about. They've already grown a goat fetus who, you know, full term, it's not that big of a step to do that with a human being. It would probably take 2 to 3 years of developing the technology. But what really is getting in the way and what could be 10, 20, and 30 years out is whether governments are going to allow this, because who's going to experiment on a child and have it go wrong? Those kind of trials would be almost unimaginable in our society that, you know, doesn't like to do those kind of things. So the technology is basically here. The possibility of doing it is quite far out.
We're speaking about ectogenesis, or in layman's terms, the artificial womb, with Zoltan Istvan. He's a futurist, philosopher, and author. Well, Zoltan, let's say that artificial wombs do become a safe and viable option for hopeful parents someday. There is the argument that this takes the burden off of women to carry and give birth to a child. I'd love to hear more. Can you illuminate some of the ethical arguments for and against ectogenesis?
Well, sure. I think, you know, primarily the most important argument in favor of ectogenesis is the fact that you're going to be able to monitor your child from basically being a zygote all the way to a delivery date. And I'm not sure if that delivery date's going to be 9 months anymore, might be out further, might be 18 months, whatever is best for the development of the human brain. And you know, what's great is you're going to be able to monitor every heartbeat. You're going to be able to, you know, monitor the movements. You're going to be able to feed it the very best nutrients it gets. The mom no longer gets sick and has the flu. Now, also, you know, from a woman's working point of view, a professional point of view, it's also going to be favorable if they don't want to take time off or have maternity leave. A lot of people have suggested that the discrepancy between women's wages and men's wages for the same job has a lot to do with maternity leave. So I think women might be able to use it who want to have children, but who also don't want to give up their careers.
But this also brings up questions about ethical dilemmas surrounding issues like designer babies, for example, or genetic pretesting, you know, that you can create a baby with a higher IQ, but then what if its IQ doesn't quite measure up? Then is the fetus just expendable? You know, this sort of things. Are these questions being thrashed out anywhere?
So you're getting into kind of the frontiers of these questions, which are so fascinating to me as a futurist. You know, this is, again, why this subject is such a political minefield, is the idea of designer babies. Yes, it's exactly what would happen is people would then, and we're already, you know, at the level of trying to start doing designer babies. You will probably see that happening in the next 2 or 3 years as people start choosing sexes, as people start, you know, trying to eliminate bad genes and stuff like that. And of course, in ectogenesis, in the artificial womb, people would be doing that exact same thing, except to even a further extent. And yes, would they say, you know, some babies are expendable if it's not measuring up to what they wanted? Of course. And this kind of gets into abortion in, you know, in an artificial womb. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. When does murder, you know, when does murder come into play, or whatever the law of the land is, depending on the state and stuff like that? And this is why this story is such a political minefield. And I think ectogenesis is still much further out, despite the technology essentially being here.
You mentioned the possibility of increasing equality among the sexes because women alone would not be responsible for carrying the child, giving birth to the child. But there's also some dubiousness among feminists who believe that science is going to be taking over something sacred and exclusive to women. Any discussions of that?
Well, yes. And, you know, I must say I'm going to side with some of the feminists on this point and just say it's true. It's very much true. If you subscribe value to being a person who can actually give birth, you know, through your human parts, then that is a very sacred thing to lose and a very sacred thing to give to science. However, the question really comes into being is what is the most functional thing, not only for society, but for the individual? And this is where we get into both the safety of the human being and the safety of the child itself. So this, again, it's not a clear cut, oh, this is right or this is wrong. It's really going to probably come down to a very personal choice and whether a mother wants to actually give up that very sacred and very special thing that they have been doing for, you know, so many hundreds of thousands of years now.
Zoltan Istvan, so fascinating. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Zoltan Istvan is a futurist. He's a philosopher, journalist, and author. And he wrote the article, Artificial Wombs Are Coming, But the Controversy Is Already Here, for Motherboard. You'll find a link to read that article at wordofmouthradio.org. And we'd love to know what you think. Is ectogenesis a technology that should stay in the pages of science fiction novels and on films? Do you think it would have a positive impact on families and society? Or would you wish to forego pregnancy in favor of using an artificial womb? You can let us know what you think by posting a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. Some people may find the thought of an artificial womb to be a little creepy. For others, there's nothing creepier than a clown. Up next, a reporter heads to a clown convention to find out why membership is down. We'll also hear her case for appreciating the clown. That's coming up after the break when Word of Mouth continues.